Okay, now we're back with some Celtics talk. And, of course, we're going to bring in Mike Grenier, sports journalist, and our guy that we rely on here during the winter for Celtics talk. And, Mike, first of all, thanks for joining us again. I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. And fresh off, I was at the Boston Garden last night, and the details are still so vivid in my mind.
Okay, this is perfect. This is perfect. And my one overriding thought today about that game last night, and boy, was it fun to watch, was what the hell is going on in this series?
You know what? That's interesting. Everyone is saying that right now because it's funny because at halftime last night, I ran into the eminent Bob Ryan, who covered...
Oh, wow.
Undoubtedly the best guy to ever cover the Boston Celtics for the Boston Globe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And retired a few years ago, but still does Sunday columns every once in a while and all that. And we looked at each other and we said, how does a team, the Miami Heat, go 8 minutes and 41 seconds of the first quarter before they score their first basket? That was crazy right there. They had 1 point in the first 8 minutes and 41 seconds until somebody hit a three and they were up to 4 points. And Bob Ryan says, I thought they'd end up in single digits in the first quarter. And the game kept trending that way. Like you said, your overriding thought was, what the heck happened? Bob Ryan and I agreed that he said that there's no pattern to this series. There's no carryover from game to game. In other words, like, each game is a separate entity and what happens,
yep,
the flow of the game.
Yep.
Last night was a perfect example. The Celtics won handily, but the Celtics didn't play particularly well on offense. And my overriding thought, Rick, was that the Celtics' defense won this game. And the presence of Robert Williams,
mm-hmm,
in the middle,
mm-hmm,
is such a deterrent to Bam Adebayo, who can be, of course, a big force in the middle. And Robert Williams had an enormous influence. And I also want to include Al Horford in this.
Yes.
Both,
yes,
of them, they combined for about 22 rebounds, I believe. Robert Williams had 9 rebounds in 19 minutes and a couple, like, 2 block shots, and I believe Horford had 4 block shots and 13 rebounds. And as I mentioned before, he's focusing so hard on defense. I thought those two guys were the anchors of the defense. They determined what kinds of shots the Miami Heat were getting. And then on top of that, the Miami Heat were missing shots that were makeable shots. So a combination of that Celtics defense and Miami just going through an unfathomable bad shooting streak, those two things combined to have the Celtics way ahead in the first quarter, and then they were able to, I don't want to say cruise, they had to keep playing hard, but they were steering the ship for the last 3 quarters.
Well, that's the most important thing, is to continue to drive with your foot on the floor. And I want to pick up on Horford for a minute, Mike. He was, I want to say, quietly efficient in the first half. And then in the second half, I think he was kind of dominant on the boards. He was just, I mean, offensive boards, defensive boards, but also he'd bring the ball up court a few times.
That's right. He cleared the defensive glass, and then he'd bring up the ball over half court and then get it to Derek. Maybe it was a good move, Rick, because White scares me. He absolutely scares me when he's got the ball. He played a little bit better last night. However, he still shot just 4 for 14 and 1 for 8 on threes. It's scary when he launches a shot, but he had 3 turnovers, so that was good. And he finished with 13 points because he made some free throws. He was 4 for 6 at the line, but it makes me cross my fingers,
mm-hmm,
that the great Marcus Smart will be back on Wednesday night.
Well, I could say the same thing about Jaylen Brown. When he goes lane, it's scary to me because he's not having a good time with that right now.
Right.
But the other thing I kept saying last night was, because he was cold, really cold in that first quarter.
5 for 20, yeah, he was finished 5 for 20.
And I was yelling, that's okay, keep shooting, Jaylen, you're going to get him.
Right, and he only finished with 12 points, but, you're right, he's been turnover prone this series, but he only had 1 turnover last night, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But Udoka could sense that he was, I guess his rhythm was off on offense, but Udoka took him out of the game fairly early in the first half. And he went with other guys, Grant Williams and other people. Grant Williams ended up playing 37 minutes last night. He wanted Jaylen Brown to settle down on the bench and sort of find, mentally find, okay, what do I need to do into, when I get back onto the court, mm-hmm. get into a rhythm to shoot the ball. And the shooting was never there, but he did contribute, you know, he did contribute 12 points overall. And you know, Jason Tatum again stepped up. At one point, Rick, this is how tough a night it was for the Miami Heat. I remember the 2:15 left in the half, and Jason Tatum had 20 points at that point, and the Miami Heat as a team had 28. So
yeah, yeah.
That shows you how rough a night it was offensively for the Miami Heat. And their starters combined for shooting 7 for 36, and that's just so awful. That's like around, 18 or 19%. And Victor Oladipo came off the bench. He was by far their best player last night. Man, he scored like 23. He actually outscored the entire starting five.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's never been done in playoff history. So it was a rugged night for the Miami Heat. And I think now, similar to what Celtics fans are thinking, will Marcus Smart be ready for Game 5? Will Robert Williams be ready for Game 5? The Miami Heat fans have to be thinking, Jimmy Butler, who's their star player, you know, he missed the second half of Game 3, and he was pretty much absent last night. He scored like 6 points or 8 points, and he didn't look right. So he's playing through some inflammation in his knee, I believe, and who knows? He's a tough guy. He'll never tell you. He didn't admit it post-game, and Spoelstra really didn't address it. However, he might be hurting. And so if he's hurting, again, that changes the perspective of the Miami Heat in taking down the Celtics for the rest of this series. So injuries are playing a role, certainly,
big time.
Really, from game to game.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to get back to Jason Tatum in a minute, but there was a play last night, and maybe it has something to do with Butler not feeling well. I think it was Butler, but it was Peyton Pritchard stuffed, I think it was Butler. He stuffed him. He blocked his shot.
Right.
And I looked at that, and I said, how is that possible?
Right. And you know what? You're right. How is that possible? Because, you know, obviously Butler's stronger, and he's physically taller and all that stuff. But we should mention, right, you mentioned a great name there, Peyton Pritchard, off the bench last night, 25 minutes, 5 for 8 from the floor, 3 for 6 on threes, 14 points. He's been a huge spark at certain times in the playoffs, and last night was one of those times. To me, when he comes in there, especially when he spells Derek White at the point guard, you worry a little bit because he's so small and will he be swallowed up by the defense. But once he gets the ball over half court, he knows the Celtics sets. He knows what their plays are. He creates some openings for his teammates, and he goes to the open spots on the floor, and I like him taking the three-pointer, or a couple times last night, he took it inside. There was one particular play he made last night I thought was a great play in the second half, where he went into traffic, he kind of made a fake close to the basket, the traffic all of a sudden disappeared, and he gave it to Tice for an easy, almost like a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I thought that was a sort of indication of he's gaining experience and he's not afraid of the big moment. And I think Peyton Pritchard, as the playoffs keep going on, you can trust him.
I love seeing that, because that, as you say, that shows genuine growth. But one of the marks of the hallmarks of a great Celtic, or I guess any championship team, is to be able to rely on those guys coming off the bench, and whether they're new guys or veterans or rookies or whatever. And yeah, that's a positive sign. I want to go back to Jason Tatum for one second.
Sure.
He had a couple of moves last night that I thought he was going to twist his spine out of. I don't know how he did it. He looked like a slinky toy. Oh, remember the old pipe cleaners when you can bend in a stick,
right.
Man?
Right.
How do you know? He had a couple of plays. I just don't even. His body was going one way. The basket was another. He was shooting. It was amazing.
Right. He's got that arm length, that wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
And he contorts his body. Like I said, hey, the young folks won't know what a slinky is, Rick. I don't know if there's another way to describe it, but a lot of people should know what a slinky is. And you're right. He made a slinky move a couple times to the basket, and then it still looked like an impossible angle.
Yes.
But he's got those long arms, and he can curl around defenders and lay the ball off the glass. And he did that a couple times last night. And, you know, he had a great all-around game, because even though he only took, he took 7 threes, he only made one. However, he was 8 for 16 overall. And the big thing, Rick, was he went to the foul line the way Giannis would go to the foul line.
Yes.
With 14 for 16 from the foul line. So he was a major factor in getting drawing some contact and putting Miami in foul trouble. I believe Adebayo had four or five fouls last night, and Spoelstra had to take him out. He kept taking it to the basket, and this time he was getting some calls. So combine that with his field goals, and he ends up at the end of the night with 31 points. And the Celtics, the Celtics were a plus 37 when he was on the floor.
Yikes.
That means they outscored Miami by 37 in the minutes that he played. So huge, huge factor. Sometimes we overlook him because he's the star player of the team, clearly. But he had a really strong game last night. Obviously, we hope in game five he makes, you know, a higher percentage of his threes, but I'll take what he did last night when you get to the foul line 16 times.
I was talking to a guy today. In fact, he was debugging my daughter's house.
And
he talked about the game, and he must have been listening to Sports Talk Radio. He said, he didn't call it a conspiracy, but he said there's this one official who likes to call the game to keep it going the other way or something or other. I can't
remember. Foster, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Any talk about that upstairs with Mr. Ryan?
None whatsoever. And I was with media guys from all over the country. I mean, there was zero talk about Scott Foster and any kind of influence he might have had. I think this person you probably heard has probably heard this guy's name mentioned in previous series and in previous games and all that stuff. But
I think it's just local talk radio
That's crazy stuff, Rick.
Okay, good.
Searching for angles and all that.
Well, because one of the things I did notice was that Tatum was getting some of the calls that guys like Giannis get.
Exactly, and guys like Jimmy Butler get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the star players get them. Rick, last night, the Celtics out-rebounded Miami 60-39.
That's insane.
Yeah, that is insane. Yeah. That's obviously another significant factor. Obviously, some of that has to do with the fact that Miami shot so poorly. There were a lot of rebounds to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But the Celtics, I thought, made a conscious effort to control the glass. And Horford was so hungry last night. And I mentioned that he was doing that when he was playing against Giannis. Maybe playing against Giannis was a phenomenal preparation for both Horford and Robert Williams, because Adebayo, as good as he is, he's not at that level of Giannis, and they're used to getting pounded now, Robert Williams and Horford. So they can take the pounding and they can dish it back out, because they both control the glass last night. And I'll tell you, you know, Rick, you've often mentioned you love the way Robert Williams plays defense, the way he can come out and guard perimeter shooters and all that. He did that at least once last night. He blocked a foul line jumper. And then, but his presence in the middle, Adebayo was, I don't want to say shrinking, he's not afraid, he's not a shrinking violet, but Adebayo was consciously avoiding Robert Williams instead of taking it to the basket.
Let me ask you this then. Van Gundy on television is always talking about how big the Celtics are, meaning strong and big.
Yes.
Is there a fatigue factor building possibly? Because Williams doesn't play every day. Smart doesn't play every day. But the guys on Milwaukee have been so far. And if the Celtics are indeed bigger physically, do you think? I mean, it took its toll on Giannis. Might the same thing be happening to the Bucks?
To Miami. Yes.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Adebayo's playing a lot of minutes, but he's strong. He looks physical. He looks strong. I'm more concerned, Rick, with the health of Robert Williams, because as soon as he started limping last night, on an exchange going back after a defensive play. And I saw him limping, and the immediate thought came in, oh, my God, take him out.
Right.
Sure enough, there was a timeout about a minute and a half later. And fortunately, the Celtics had a cushion. They had a good lead, and Udoka didn't have to use him. So Robert Williams only ended up playing 19 minutes. Now, they had practice today, and Udoka addressed the Robert Williams issue, and he said, we're hoping for the best. Meaning, he really doesn't know until tomorrow, the day of the game, what the actual report will be from the trainers, from the doctors, and from Robert Williams himself saying, yes, I'm a go, or no, I'm not a go. So I think that's a fluctuating situation, as it has been throughout the playoffs with Robert Williams. Same thing with Marcus Smart. So if Robert Williams can continue to play on a regular basis and play like he did last night, I love the Celtics' chances, obviously, but, you know, he's so iffy with the health. I give him a lot of credit because I think he's definitely playing through pain, and he's playing through this injury, but there are times that he just can't make a go of it. But I think other players would have shut it down for the season, but obviously he's got the heart, and he wants to play in this series.
That's great to hear, and, you know, it's to me, that's old-fashioned Celtic. I just don't want both Smart and Williams to not be in there. You got to have at least one of them.
Right, Rick. You know, and I know you like to talk, you know, you and I have talked coaching in this series with Spoelstra and Udoka, and it was, I don't know if you might have, obviously you watched the game, you might have noticed this, and I don't know if fans noticed it. When the Celtics had a 30-point lead late in the third quarter, and Miami went on an 8-0 run, Udoka called a timeout with 30 seconds left in the third quarter.
Hmm.
And he was ticked off because they had let down on defense, and their offense got sloppy, and he wanted to stop that sloppiness right then and there. So rather than wait the final 30 seconds of the third quarter and maybe light into them during the timeout between the third and the fourth, he called the timeout with 30 seconds and addressed the lackadaisical play with 30 seconds. So he didn't want the Miami Heat to cut it down to 18 or 19. He wanted to remain at 22 or 23 or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was like a really, it showed you how his head was in the game, that he was not going to let Miami make a run even in the final 30 seconds of the third quarter.
Well, given what happened the first half of the season, that makes sense. But the fact that he's able to get that point across and do that and use timeouts judiciously like that,
correct.
You know, it is so important. And I just think that, you know, it was great to see them continue to focus, because you and I talked about that yesterday before the game.
Right.
And I want to ask you about the usage of Nesmith.
Yeah, I personally am not a Nesmith fan. I'll tell you this, he came in, he's got phenomenal athletic skill, okay? I mean, he could play defense, he could block shots, he blocked one last night. He kind of gets lost on offense, though, and also, even on defense, I'll illustrate it for you. When Nesmith came into the game last night, Duncan Robinson, who's the great three-point shooter from Miami, who's been deep on the bench because he's sort of been in the player, not in the doghouse for his attitude, but because he doesn't play defense that well, Spoelstra has gone another direction, and his playing time has been very limited, Duncan Robinson. But as soon as Nesmith came in last night, Duncan Robinson's eyes, I could see it from the ninth floor, and he immediately took a three with Nesmith on him and hit it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the next offensive series, Duncan Robinson took it to the basket, and I think got fouled, and he went to the foul line for two. So Nesmith, opposing teams know about him. They know he's a very inexperienced player, even though he's athletically gifted. I think teams try to take advantage of his inexperience, and I think he needs another year to progress if the Celtics are willing to give him that shot, because I think he's on a short leash. It's sort of like Romeo Langford, you know, that Brad Stevens moved him at the trade deadline, and Langford has been a non-factor ever since. He did nothing with San Antonio. So you wonder what's going to happen to Nesmith in the offseason. He's going to have to come back and show that he can play meaningful minutes. In other words, sometimes he looks great in garbage time. However, when the game is on the line, he hasn't looked so great. So I think he has to make that step forward if he wants to stay in the NBA.
Okay, good analysis. And what about Tice?
Tice is another mysterious figure because he's had a couple of good games in the playoffs. But in this series, obviously, Udoka made that change when Robert Williams couldn't play, and he started Tice for one game. And Tice, instead of Grant Williams, that is, and Tice was ineffective, and he had to yank him out of the game, and he had to put Grant Williams back in there. And Tice obviously has a height advantage over Grant Williams, but he just didn't play well in that particular game. And Udoka had to change his thinking midstream and go with Grant Williams. So, you know, I just think that he's been inconsistent, Tice is. I love him as a player, great attitude, knows the system, knows what he can do and needs to do, but he's sort of been, you know, just his play has been at times effective, at other times just really inconsistent. I think that's where he's at right now.
All right. Hopefully we can talk on Thursday. I had one more comment I wanted to ask you about, and it just escaped my mind. Give me a second here. Oh, my goodness.
It'll be interesting, Rick, if they can, you know, somebody pointed out
I know what
Celtics
it was.
Now because they lost home court again by losing game three at home.
Mm-hmm.
Pointed out that the Celtics either need to win three in a row to finish it in six games in Boston, or else they're going to be forced to win a second time in Miami in Game 7. And that's what it comes down to.
Well, that's not unheard of in Celtic history.
Right, it's not, and it's not. And obviously, Rick, the word we always use for Game 5, right, in any series, pivotal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know what I was going to say was, the fact that, you know, each of these games has been a blowout during the game one way or another.
Yeah.
But in game three, remember, the Celtics came back.
They were down 26, got it down to one, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and so I'm going to take that as a positive, and maybe they, maybe they're wearing down Miami. I hope so.
And you know, I think the big question mark, Rick, is really Jimmy Butler. What is his health? Because he's an all-star caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
In the last two games, he's done a disappearing act. Missed the entire second half in game three and really didn't show his ability last night in game four. So therefore, you wonder how healthy his knee is.
All right, and I hope they send Horford down on a charter flight and let him rest all day.
Oh, yeah, Horford and Williams, what a difference they make. It's a joy when you're in person at the game and the crowd was going crazy last night. It's a joy to watch those two guys play defense.
Yeah, I love watching Horford's expressions too. He doesn't go crazy one way or the other, but he gets pumped and he gets angry and he's focused and
he exhorts the crowd too, Rick.
Yeah,
he exhorts the crowd in his own quiet way.
Yes,
I've never seen him more. He's 35. I've never seen him more focused in his career than he is right now. And like last night, he had like 5 points, but only took two or three shots because his whole mindset right now is playing great defense and rebounding.
He's a consummate professional. And I've seen him from time. You can probably see it at the Garden because the camera doesn't pick it up. But there was one or two times I saw him go over and talk to one of his teammates and sort of, you know, give him advice. You know, it's,
sure.
At least that's what it seemed like.
And you know, and Marcus Smart does the same thing on the bench, right, Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
He's exhorting his teammates. He's pointing out things that he sees happening on the floor. And to me, the great thing about the Celtics last night is they survived with Derek White at the point guard. So let's hope that Marcus Smart is back for Game 5.
Yeah, yeah. It's like KC on the court when KC was playing. You got another coach on the field on the court there. So
that's right.
That's
no doubt
good.
About it, Rick.
All right. So hopefully we'll talk Thursday, Mike.
That sounds great, Rick. And let's take it. Let's see if we can get one down in Miami.
Absolutely. All right. It's always great, Mike. It's been fun. Thank you.
Take care.
Talk to you later. All right. Bye bye. All right, that's sports journalist Mike Grenier, who is our Celtics expert here on MSONewsSports.com.